response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
And, you know, how do you enjoy prosperity? Well, you do all the stuff that got you there in the first place.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
All the little things, you know. It's not some deal where you I'll get in trouble for this, I'm certain. But
Andy Dirt Johnson.
Where you know, instead of playing hard and getting a first down and getting a play, then, you know, you want to sit behind a shade tree, eat a fish sandwich, and drink a lemonade with your fat little girlfriend.
And Brendan Sprague.
I'm working on this trademark cough. What do you think? It's getting better, too. Well, then, we marched it downfield.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080. The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, and of course, YouTube. YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us very early this morning. Hope your Monday's off to an okay start. It's raining outside, but hopefully that goes away soon.
Hopefully the rain's all done for.
Swag has responded. Stop it. That back, that down the line, two-handed backhand has nothing to do with roids.
No, nothing
sure.
to do with roids. Nothing at all.
Yeah, Gagne didn't throw it faster because of roids. He just threw it really fast.
Bonds didn't hit any extra home runs because of steroids, dude. It was all natural.
All.
He would have hit that many whether he juiced or not.
We have a special mystery guest at 7:30 coming up for the Daily Ticker today. We will get into a bunch of football dealings. I got a preseason media poll out that I want to talk about here in just a second. I would also say this. I learned over the weekend, I understood that Damian Lillard was an obvious big deal of returning back to Portland. I guess I underestimated some way, somehow, the reach of it. I had non-sports fans asking me about that this weekend, and
yeah.
I went, what?
That catches the attention of the non-diehard, and not many signings or players would have had the ability to do that, more so than Damian Lillard.
No.
That's a big deal for everybody in the city. Everybody knows that
name. You
know,
once we did the Friday show, which I thought was a lot of fun with listeners, opinions, comments, everything that we had at the text line and the YouTube chat.
Trying to open the phone lines, but the phones didn't work.
Yeah, it turns out we had people calling in.
We did.
It
just wouldn't come through.
I kept thinking about it when I had like brief little moments during my weekend of like just staring out at the ocean. And I kept just saying to myself, does this make sense?
No, you can't do that. Don't be a thief of joy, Brandon.
Well, no, I'm not thieving your joy.
How dare you?
I tweeted him this weekend. I said, come to the coast, man. You're back. Like, stop with this whole, I've never been to the Oregon coast. Go to the Oregon coast. It's a perfect time to do it. But once I got past the cool factor of it,
yeah,
I just thought about the basketball.
How does that play out?
Brad Botkin.
Sure.
I hope I'm saying that right.
Big fan of his work.
Who's he right for?
The thing. The people.
The people thing. The
hoops people thing.
The hoops people thing.com.
Yeah, that's a big website. No.
CBS Sports.
Yeah.
He did the five moves that leave us puzzled, and the Blazers getting Drew Holiday because they added Damian Lillard was one of them. And he was like, totally get how cool this is. They're great leaders.
Yeah.
You're paying a lot of money for leadership.
Are they both going to be here in a year? Is that your starting backcourt?
Well, one of them for sure will be. I think the deal is he's going to retire here now. But
yeah.
I don't know about the other one. But yeah, I just was thinking about it over the week, and I had people that were non. Like, I'm talking straight up don't watch sports. In fact, how big a sports fan you might be asking in your car or your office or wherever you're listening, I'll tell you this much. Such non-sports fans, but they ask me about other stations in our building's morning show because they fail to remember that I do a morning show at the exact same time.
We're also on the air. Hello.
These are people I know that are like, what's up with this show
right
now?
What's up with Terry Boyd, man? What's going on with KGON?
I didn't name names, but I said, I don't know. I'm on the exact same time.
I see him in the hallways as I pass, but that's about it.
Also, thanks for listening. Yeah. Much appreciated.
We are also on the air at the same time. It is funny how you're not allowed almost to summon this market to question anything. It has to be, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of the organization. This is nothing but sunshine and rainbows. And if you ask out loud, how does it work roster-wise and who's going to be here and how do you build around, you're a negative Nancy. And how dare you be a negative Nancy and ask any sort of legitimate question about an organization who clearly doesn't deserve to have any legitimate questions asked about the moves that they've made because they've operated at such a high level for such a long time.
Well, we're going to have Ben Golliver on tomorrow. Yes. He wrote a really good piece about Yang Hansen.
He did. The numbers in China are insane in that article. How many people are watching these games, dude?
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has to be part of the equation in this thinking, is it not?
Without a doubt, part of the equation.
Because I'll tell you right now, if
the valuation of the franchise is significantly more now than it was 2 months ago.
I don't think it's gone up that much.
If this cat's the real deal and you've opened up the Chinese market, I mean, how many jerseys and shirts and hats and television packages are you going to sell over
there? If you have Kami Jokic on your team,
it's a big deal.
Dude, it's a massive deal.
It's a big deal, Bob.
But they're selling at the point where I don't think we'll know that until after the new owner comes in. All I'm saying is I was just thinking about the basketball because I will all day be here for the Blazer fan that's like, it's just something fun. This is something monumental that you don't see in sports. I always push back. We had a coworker, Sam, at the end of our show Friday. I was hanging out and it's like, you know, it's weird, man. I don't know how I feel about this. It's the ex-hot girlfriend, and now she wants you back, and I'm just supposed to be okay with that? And I go, I mean, you kind of drove her away.
Yeah, you were the reason she left in the first place.
And he didn't view it that way. Well, she still asked out.
Mm.
Well, yeah, but like if I hired another person to do your job and I told you, hey, we still want you here, you'd probably feel a way about that.
Yes.
Anyways, we talked for about 20 minutes, and it was basically him venting about how conflicted he has felt because he loves Dame, but he didn't like that Dame asked out, and now Dame's back, and I was just surprised to hear that he was conflicted about it.
Yeah, I didn't know that opinion existed, but that's interesting to hear, that it was, you're angry with him for breaking up with the franchise, when I felt like the universal opinion was, well, we all saw that coming because they forced his hand. Remember 2 years of, we're going to go so all in, it's going to hurt?
The franchise was caught at a Coldplay concert with Scoot Henderson.
They were.
Embracing on top
of
Fenway.
No, this will all work out. Scoot, Shea, and Dame. We can make this roster work. We have 17 point guards, but it's fine. Don't worry.
Mad at the person who filed for divorce when they were caught on the Jumbotron cheating on the people.
Look, I think it's, I hope that we get to a point where we can embrace and understand people having a conflicting opinion about this. That on the one hand, nobody disagrees with the fact that it is incredibly cool that Damian Lillard is back in a Blazer uniform. I was at a block party thing with my nieces and nephew this weekend. Even they were like just jacked, and they don't ever talk sports with me. They don't care about anything that's going on. But even they were like, Damian Lillard's back. Are you excited? Are you going to go to a game? Like, that was the talking point this weekend at a little block party. Mm-hmm. And so that tells you the little nooks and crannies that you're getting into with this kind of announcement. So nobody questions the coolness of it.
I think they're different conversations, to be
they
quite
totally
honest.
They totally are.
I don't think, like, I think saying, if we're just evaluating roster, and he's not playing this year, right?
No.
But like if the roster is largely intact next year, I mean, that's what's the conversation? If Drew is still here.
And Scoot is still here.
And Scoot is still here.
And Dame is obviously going to be here.
And Dame is, and then like, let's throw the scenario. Scoot has an amazing season. Is Dame playing with Scoot?
Dude, what if Scoot and Shaden have good years this year?
Right. So I think those are different conversations. People are trying to mix them of like, well, Sprague's crapping all over it because he asked this question on the air. And I'm like, no. Right. I was really excited to see that the dude missed being here and loves it here and wants to retire here. And
him running out of the tunnel the first time is going to be a night as a Blazer fan you will always remember.
Him limping out with that boot is going to get the biggest ovation of any player in that building. But I was thinking about it over the weekend because I had people in my life that don't care about sports. Like, hey, so Dame's back, huh? And I'm like, Yeah, now here I am talking about it with non-sports fan, and I'm like, how deep do I get in on this? Because you don't watch sports. So,
no.
Like, I don't even know how much we really talk about it, but it's obviously captured the city, this decision. But separate from that coolness is, it's the roster question.
And the plan, and where are you trying to go? And how does this impact that? How does this impact the young guys?
Yes.
How does it impact all of it? Like, that has to be a part of the equation.
Yes.
It can't just be, this is cool, end of story, period, move on to the next topic.
You have to at least acknowledge that there are people that also watch and know ball that are outside of our bubble saying, what is...
35-year-old Achilles, we don't know where he's going to be at.
That's the other part.
A year from now, like, he's nearing the end of his career. Is he going to be 80% of what he was?
Everybody say
75.
A little prayer, but I keep also saying, like, what if this... I go to so many different places with it when I think about it.
I'd be lying to you if I told you Fat Griffey's not in the back of my head.
I'm
like, this is awesome. This is cool.
I'm
is he going to fall asleep in the dugout? But hit one walk-off home run, and we're going to say, golly gee, Willigers, that was awesome.
Dame won it again.
He scores 15 a game, but he hits one game-winning three, and it was worth it, but we never make the playoffs. Like, that has to be a part of the equation.
It's a little bit a part of the thought,
is a
right?
guarantee, and I hope that's not how it transpires, and
no.
He returns to 90% of what he was before, which he might be able to do. I have no clue what the future holds. One of the comparisons I was thinking about over the weekend, to be honest with you, and I know that they're different players, different size, different age, and all of that. And Dame actually had a better year than this guy last year.
Yeah.
But this guy's not coming off an Achilles. Just in terms of roster construction and building, what would the opinion have been if they gave this deal to the other player who was bought out of a massive deal in the last week? What if we had just signed Bradley Beal to a 3-year, $42 million contract? What would the opinion have been? A little bit of confusion.
Probably.
He's older. He's not quite the same player.
What are you doing with Shea?
I thought we were going youth. Position. I thought we were like freeing up minutes. Anthony Simons is gone.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
There would be a little bit of that. Now, you could argue you think Dame is better than Beal at this point. He had a better year than him last year. But again, Beal's only 31 and he's not coming off an Achilles
injury.
Well,
now we don't know. But
now
before
we don't
the injury,
know.
Yeah, we would have said Dame's
he
better.
He was the better player. Like, no doubt about it. So that was the one in my head. I'm like, if we had signed Bradley Beal and that was the move that we made, I tend to think that a lot of people would be questioning, similar to getting Drew Holiday, who's still a good player.
Well, okay, so Brad...
But it's like, wait a minute, what? How does Drew Holiday fit all this making $37 million a year?
Brad Botkin asked an interesting question, and I don't know if we'll actually ever get the answer to it. The press conference is tonight, by the way.
Yes, it is, 6 o'clock tonight.
So we should...
We'll have the audio tomorrow.
Meringue's going to be there. We should have audio for tomorrow morning's show.
Yeah.
That should be a mandate. He suggests or wonders, do they even trade for Drew if they know they're getting Dame?
It's a whole nother part
and
of this.
I went, oh my God, I hadn't thought about that.
If you knew this was a possibility, is that it? Maybe they say
maybe
yes.
Maybe they're just like doubling up on the leadership and
the
bring the guy back and
yeah.
Let's make the fans happy. Like, maybe that was just the thinking the entire time. And if it was, like, okay, that's the crone zone. But I read that and I immediately was like, oh my God, I hadn't thought about that. Like, would they have gotten him in a trade if they knew they were going to sign? Now Drew's going to play this year and Dame is not.
Yep.
But I mean, it's a valid question to ask. I would hope the answer is yes.
I think their argument would probably be they still view, and I said this the day of the trade. It was one of the reasons why I was in on the trade. Now, we'll see if it actually works out that way.
Yeah.
I think they view Drew Holiday as a tradable asset, and we can agree with that or disagree with. I think they view the $37 million mixed with other draft picks as a package
is
that they can use.
Is it a good trade asset, though?
No, but I think it puts you in a position with a salary on your books to be able to make one of those kind of trades, because that's the move that if there ever is going to be an all-in move, they're going to have a salary of that level to make that move, and they
Fair.
Didn't have anybody else that was lining up in that way.
Fair point. If that happens, I will give them a standing ovation. Like, I'm rooting for that to happen. I want them to be better.
Yeah.
You also would have said that with the Jeremy deal and DeAndre.
Probably.
And then you were on the show saying, great job. Way to just cut him and not get anything for
him. Give him money to walk away.
Like, so I'm not saying that's going to be Drew. But I also think it's an easy assumption to just say, well, they could just trade it. Like, have we watched the offseason? There's not a lot of teams lining up to say, oh, 36-year-old guy making $37 million, we're all in.
Totally fair.
Like, and if he doesn't have a great year, if he has a similar year to last year, oh, I don't know if I'm counting those chickens of that's such an easy deal to move
totally
in this
fair.
Climate of the NBA with that second apron looming.
So, totally fair.
Yeah, it was an interesting weekend. It was a big moment. A lot of even non-Blazers sports fans were just like, whoa. And it got my gears turning more on that topic.
Yeah.
And I went away from the emotional happiness, cool, how unique, to just the roster basketball stuff.
Yes.
Just that.
It doesn't have to be. It's okay to question moves that your teams make. You can be excited and thrilled, and we're all pumped that Damian Lillard is in a Blazer uniform. A lot of this stuff will work itself out. Like, if Jrue Holiday is indeed traded next offseason, it makes a lot more sense to me. If Jrue Holiday is still on the roster and Damian Lillard is still on the roster and Scoot and Shaden have decent
still
years,
on the roster.
And that, like, then I'm wondering what is happening
what
here.
Is
I'm
yeah,
a little
right,
confused.
Right.
So there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. Time will tell how it all works out. Very cool that he's on the team. It's okay to question the teams that you root for, people.
Special guest at 7:30. We've got a reminder of something to tell you about coming up next. And got a preseason media poll. What are you excited about?
YouTube's down. As YouTube.
No, we're back on YouTube. Okay. I fixed it.
We were down for a whole Blazer Damian Lillard segment?
Yeah, that whole segment was off YouTube. Yeah, YouTube froze. I was at least doing a touchdown pose when it froze. So
YouTube,
cool.
YouTube froze. Jake and Will fixed it. It just took the segment. But we're back on YouTube now.
Nice. Hell yeah, brother.
It wasn't a user error thing.
We're back, baby. We're back.
289 days.
You're almost at 300. You're almost there. Three bills. That's
right.
Large and in charge. Look at you, Large Marge.
YouTube audience, we'll pivot out our Damian Lillard conversation, which you, if you're on YouTube, you heard none of. We will be back with football stuff next on The Fan.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Hansen reminding everybody yesterday, seven more Sundays until 7 hours of commercial-free football.
I think that was one of my favorite memes that got created from the Coldplay Fallout concert thing, was the guy, you know, you were in the back and you're hugging Scott Hansen and 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now.
Somebody sent me a photo of the duck and beaver in that exact same jumbotron. The duck is behind, and I said, I have a problem with the order of operation here.
Or your daddy.
Yeah, well, I don't want to talk about that.
Why would that be the meme? Why would somebody make that meme?
It was going around. They actually did this at ballparks this weekend.
I know
that
happened.
Couples that
but the
were
duck and beaver
like
one
that.
Does. What are we? Were we cheating on each other? Or
we're
we
secretly lovers.
Secretly lovers.
I think that's kind of the point. I'm very confused. What do you think that meant?
I don't think we're secretly lovers at all.
I think you hate us,
yeah. And we've kind of forgotten about it.
I think we're the wife that's gonna. Actually, you divorced us.
We left you.
You left us.
Technically, we are the guy in the back, but we're not cheating on. We already cheated on you. You're the wife at home.
It's ridiculous.
The lady in the front should have been the Big Ten, and then that would have been a more applicable meme.
The guy finally resigned.
I saw that.
Also, the gal caught laughing that was red-faced, which was clearly hammered, not an employee. Everybody thought it was a certain employee, and it wasn't. It was a rando.
There's a rando. Like,
I didn't realize, like, oh, my God, they just got caught cheating.
People have now, this is going to become the next thing where people are doing the challenge at games now, where they show you on the Jumbotron, and then they ask you to run and hide off camera as quickly as you possibly can. Can, which is great. It's this has become a moment that brings Americans together.
We have a special mystery guest coming up at 7:30 for the Daily Ticker today, and so we'll get to that individual. I want to just give you a heads up, because Sturt will have this at the end of the show, but as radio goes, there's always like turn and burn for people. You're really going to want to tune in to Primetime today. Most of you will. But you're really going to want to tune into Primetime at 3 o'clock. Now, knowing them a little bit, they may get to what I'm talking about.
Be funny if they made everybody
they could
wait.
Also just be like,
like 3:09.
Can you believe yard work in rain? So I'm not making promises.
Could be 3:07, could be 3:04,
right.
Could be 3:02.
Could be 4:03 p.m., you know what I mean?
It's like the hot 5 at
5:15. It's the hot 5 at 5. Could be the top of the hour, it could be midway point of the
hour. You got
no
idea when it, that's the beauty of the show. You just don't, is it going to be right out of the gate or in 7 minutes? I don't know.
But in all seriousness, all I can say, I have been sworn to say nothing else.
It's been incredibly challenging to not say anything. Have you had a hard time? I've had a hard time.
I may have said stuff off to you.
How dare you? We found the leakers.
No, I didn't do that.
Don't come to that.
Are you,
come to
are
that.
You leaking? Are you leaking on
Will's
me?
Will's a leaker.
Will's someone, definitely a leaker.
Will's a leaker.
He's got leaker written all over
Will
him.
Will Ortner,
I don't
leaker.
Know anyone to leak.
Oh, yeah, you do. Get out of here.
I don't know enough
don't
people.
Act all stupid. Oh, no. Football guy. I don't know.
I still am confused on
Bang
what's
my
happening.
Head. I don't know anything.
I don't know
That's
anything.
True. You were not in the meetings last week. Will Ortner was not
right.
here.
I was
a team
not
player.
Present.
How weird he wasn't here.
The leaker not showing up to the meeting, that is a bit. bit of a red flag.
I was too busy getting Whataburger.
I dropped one line that I'm not going to repeat on the air as we were going on vacation for a week. And the second I said it, I was like, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Well,
and then,
okay. Now we've said too much. Just tune in at 3 o'clock.
We need a lawyer.
Prime time.
You need a lawyer.
I need a lawyer.
We're innocent over here.
I'm innocent.
You need a lawyer.
I didn't tell anyone. I
need a lawyer for two reasons.
I wasn't even at the meeting.
You're now a fan leaker. And two, you need to investigate your tax consultant because they're ripping you off.
They're stealing money from you. Get the investigator to investigate you.
She's a wonderful lady.
And then
she's
your
doing great work.
By the way, Ortner's profile looks great at mommyneedslove.com.
Oh, now we're bringing that over to here, too.
All right.
Mommyneedslove.com.
It's for women who have been divorced and they have children and they're looking for stepdaddy love.
That's legitimately
dated,
a website?
Never dated a divorcee. No, he's made this up. Okay.
I kind of want this to be true now.
Yeah, Ortner's pictures.
Let's run with it. It's definitely true.
It's the one where he has hair, though, so they're a little thrown off, but he's so big, they're like, I'm ready to be thrown off.
Well, he's in better shape now. I think he looks better now than he did when he had hair. But
I agree.
Old hair photo.
Bald and glow up.
Throw you for a loop a little bit. Imagine if Will Ortner was your stepdad.
That'd be terrifying. You guys want to watch Bluey together?
Stepdad's
for all
here.
Parties.
We've got preseason media poll.
We do.
We can talk about this after our mystery guest.
Nobody's given us a chance.
The Cleveland.com Big Ten preseason media poll.
It is Big Ten media week.
Yeah, it starts tomorrow.
Yes, it does.
Lanning will be on the podium on Wednesday. But festivities kick off tomorrow in Vegas. Josh Pate's going to join the program tomorrow.
Look at that.
Ben Golliver's going to join the program tomorrow.
Look at us. It's a big show.
Coming in, dead last, Purdue.
Not shocked.
Not shocked at all.
No.
17th, Northwestern.
Not shocked.
Maryland, 16th.
Yep, sounds about right.
UCLA, 15th.
Yep, I believe it.
Tied for 13th, Jonathan Smith and Rutgers.
Oh, I think I'd lean having a little more faith in Rutgers this year. Is that
Childs
crazy?
Better take a step or he is screwed.
This is it.
Done.
This is your. This could be your Ty Thompson, but not really your Ty Thompson because he transferred.
It's going to work out great. Beeves going to go 10-2. Gundy's going to get a job.
Yes,
and they'll hire Jonathan Smith as the OC back.
Ooh, after he gets fired?
Oh, he'll come.
Do you want Aiden Childs back to replace Malik Murphy, who goes to the NFL from your 10-2 season?
We got the future.
Your golden child is not welcome home.
Wisconsin is 12th.
That, to me, is more about just their schedule.
That's a problem for Fickell if they're 12.
Dude, their schedule is...
He's not had any good seasons yet.
Go pull up Wisconsin's schedule and tell me, how does Luke Fickell not get fired? Maybe they have a level-headed enough to...
Didn't they just extend him?
They might have, yeah.
Did they give him, like... Maybe I'm wrong.
Might have been a year ago. We were all asking the same question of, why would you already give him an extension? He hasn't really done anything yet. And they play just an absolute...
Yeah, dude, they gave him an extension until 2032. They're not firing
him. 7 years from now, Bob. That's a long ways off.
That buyout's going to be stupid. Minnesota, row the boat is 11. UW is 10.
Mm.
Lincoln Riley is 9. Nebraska, 8. Iowa, 7.
Iowa.
Indiana, 6. Michigan got one vote. They're 5th. Illinois, 4. Your Oregon Ducks are number 3.
Nobody's giving us a chance.
Well, two people are. They voted you first place. Two people. Ohio State, 2. And Penn State, as I predicted, preseason darling, numero uno in the Big Ten.
Yeah, trusting James Franklin to win a big game always goes well for you because he's got a great track record of doing it over the years.
Playoff game.
Interesting. Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people can beat Boise State. We did, too, last year. Michigan is fascinating to me because they are so dependent on quarterback play. Like, tell me how that team's different if they don't get good quarterback play. They had elite talent on the defensive side of the ball. They went 7-5 last year. Are they going to get better quarterback play? Because I don't know if their defense is going to be that talented. And watching the turnaround on Indiana is also interesting. Indiana lost a ton of talent from their team last year. They raided the portal
James
again.
James Madison guys were
but
gone.
They're clearly now into the, hey, they're on the top of everybody's mind. Like, I wouldn't, their non-conference schedule is a joke, and we should probably kick them out of the Big Ten for their non-conference schedule. But that being said, them getting the kind of kiss from their good season last year, also interesting to me, because I'd probably have a couple other schools ahead of them in the preseason rankings.
About what you expected?
Yeah, I'm not surprised by anything.
I'm a little surprised Illinois is above Michigan just because Michigan's horses are better.
Yeah, but Illinois beat them last year and they won 9 games and they got a starting quarterback that's returning. Altmaier is a guy who was pretty good last year.
No, he was good. Yeah, we'll see.
The bottom part of the conference is just
so bad.
Trash. It's just bad.
So bad.
Northwestern's terrible.
Is there one below UW in the 11 through 18 range that you think could surprise and be higher? I mean, I know he is kind of public enemy one in this region. I do think if Childs can take a positive step, I mean, I think Michigan State could be like sixth in that conference.
So here's the tough part about all this, again, is that you got to look up, because I don't know this off the top of my head. What's their non-conference schedule?
I don't know Michigan State's non-conference.
So Michigan State and non-conference plays, I mean, yeah, they could. They play Western Michigan, Boston College, and Youngstown State
at home. So you could be conceivably 3-0.
They don't play Ohio State. They don't play Oregon.
That's pretty good.
They get Michigan at home. At USC, at Nebraska, at Iowa.
I mean, there's some games.
I mean, you tell me they go 7-5, 8-4, I'm not shocked by it. But like in terms of step, are you thinking like can they contend for a conference title?
No. I'm saying they could be sixth.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Which
I wouldn't
would be
pick
a very
it to happen.
Step for him.
Yeah, that would. Yeah, he needs it. There's not a lot of love
then
for him right now.
Childs would probably come back next year as the started for 2.5 years kid. He figured it out last year, Heisman dark horse type
right.
vibe, if they have that season.
In terms of like getting into the top 4, 5, 6 of the conference, I don't think anybody behind Washington can do it. I don't. Michigan State might surprise with a 7-win season, 8-win season. I don't think that's good enough to be in the top whatever of the Big Ten. Maryland, no thank you. Northwestern, no thank you. Purdue is starting all over again with Barry Odom. UCLA's got Nico, but nothing else really around him. I'm not saying these teams can't be feisty and pull off an upset. Like, I could see Rutgers being a team like that. Hell, even Wisconsin or Michigan State being you don't want to go play them at a certain time on the road late in the year kind of team. But in terms of an 8-9 win season, no, I don't see that happening. I don't see an Indiana this year. I'll say that much.
Sixth place last year was 8-4.
Was 8-4?
It was okay. Iowa, yeah.
So maybe 8-4 is good enough to do that again this year. Would be curious to see how the schedule balances out depending on or compared to what it was last season as well, because you had some teams a la Indiana who got an absolute kiss of the schedule gods, and we don't know how all these teams are going to be, so it's hard to play that game in July.
There's a pundit stealing my take in college football that I don't like. We'll talk a little college football, some NFL stuff, man, when the Lions dealt a serious blow over the weekend. We'll talk about that, but coming up next is the Daily Ticker, and we got a mystery guest for the Ticker. Who is it? Find out next on The Van.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker on The Fan is poured by Pelican Brewing. Experience your hops differently with Hard Hops Blackberry, hop-infused hard seltzers.
All right, Daily Ticker time, presented by Pelican Brewing. Hard Hops. Discover Hard Hops Blackberry Hard Hop-Infused Hard Seltzer and experience your hops differently. I'd love to try that. They're actually fantastic. Great for on the golf course.
Hard
on
hops
the boat.
Are gone.
Oh, they're so
people
good.
People are...
They're buying them up, but they don't exist anymore. What are you saying? They sold
them up,
out?
Buying them up. The ones we got from our friends over there, drank. They're gone.
Yeah, I got to get some
people
more.
Are loving those hard hops.
They're fantastic. Somebody chiming in saying, when we tease a surprise guest, does that mean we don't actually have a guest? Joke's on you, buddy. Joke is on you. We actually have a guest today.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Hooray.
Hey.
Swagalicious.
We figured, you know what? This bastard wants to take 3-day weekends, and we're going to go ahead and we know he's going to be away. He's already texting us tennis takes.
Yep.
Joining us now is our esteemed producer and the host of Golf in the Northwest, Jason
hey.
T. Swigard.
First time on the ticker.
First time as a ticker
for
guest.
The golf host.
Yeah,
good morning.
So. Morning, boys.
Are you naked right now?
Oh.
No. T-shirt and workout shorts.
Oh, okay. Right.
No underwear, I bet.
No. We're free-flowing.
How does it feel to be a steroid supporter, and do you care to defend your rationale on a 1A, 1B in tennis?
I'm just following your lead, so.
Well played.
No, dude, I wanted to bring, I know you're off today, and we have, like, a big show tomorrow. I wanted to get you on in all seriousness because, you know, you're hopping on during golf things. We give a lot of takes. You host a golf show on the station every Saturday at 8 a.m.
And by the time tomorrow rolls around, nobody's going to want to talk about it. It's
right.
Already old news, so
right.
You won't have a chance.
No, it'd be fun to get you on the horn. We know you're awake. What do you make of Scotty, 4 majors in the same amount of time as Tiger, and just what he did this weekend at the Open?
It's pretty remarkable. And you start to read, you go in and see all these stats and all of these lists about the accomplishments that he's done in the last 3 or 4 years of his career with the majors and his win percentage and his top 10 and top 25 win percentages. And you start to see they are short lists. And the other names you see are Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus, and Ben Hogan on these lists. And that's it. And so when you start to do that, you have to take notice. This isn't insignificant. It's not a one-year thing like when Jordan Spieth, I think it was 2015, he had his year. Guys burst onto the scene. They go nuts. David Duval got all the way to number one and then fell off the face of the earth. So the fact that he is showing the consistency week in, week out, the win percentage year to year. And if you go back, and he had such a slow start because he had that hand injury, broken glass at Thanksgiving or whatever, believe what you want to believe. But had he not gotten a late start, he might have been more in contention at the Masters and more in contention early on. He might have another win or two this season. And so he does it in a very different style than Tiger, though. It's not dazzling the way Tiger was. It's not eye-popping. It's just precise. It's probably more in the realm of Jack Nicklaus than it is in Tiger Woods, what he's been doing of late.
It's interesting. I want to ask you this, Swag, because you bring an older perspective to the show of remembering things that we don't. Like, Tiger doing what he did in the early 2000s is something that I obviously remember, but I wasn't, you know, I'm 10, 11, 12 years old. I'm not watching every second of a golf tournament on a Saturday and Sunday. You know how dominant he is. When he was running away from the field, what was the viewership experience like for you? Did you enjoy watching all of it, no matter if he's at Pebble and up by 15 strokes? And do you feel the same way about Scotty? Because I did find myself yesterday, and I have in other championships that he's won, where you're appreciative of how great he is, how dominant he is, but there's almost an aspect of it's boring because it's so fairway green, two-putt, fairway green, two-putt. There's no risk of a double bogey. He never brings big holes or, you know, big scores into play, and you kind of turn it off on the back nine, or you go for a walk, or you leave the house because you know it's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I remember the 2000 U.S. Open Pebble Beach and just being just transfixed and mesmerized that he brought an athleticism to golf that we did not see much of prior to that. It was highly skilled at that point, and you had all sorts of, you know, different body types and shapes, but it was more a skill, a highly honed skill. And while Tiger had that, he was able to add athleticism to it and just bombing away and doing things. And you were transfixed by, and you knew that the game of golf was going to be changed. And then you just saw him do it week after week. He had all this athleticism with the precision and the skill of all these other golfers. And it took 10 years, probably 5 to 10 years for the rest of the field to catch up to him. You don't get that. Scotty's got the precision. It's amazing. You look at, you know, the most uncomprehensible stat, which is shots gained, mm-hmm. which still nobody can explain to me. But he's number one on tour this year in shots gained off the tee, on the approach, you know, and overall. So the only one he's not quite there, he's like 20th in putting. And that's the one piece of his game that he's continued to tinker with. And when he putts, and I think he missed one or two putts inside of 10 feet at the Open Championship, when he's making all of those putts, that's when he can just put a four, five, six under every round, and it just compounds on you. And the fact that he had three birdies and a par at the 16th Calamity Corner and everybody else was blowing up there, I think he goes and strategizes and he's like, okay, where are the hardest holes? Where are the holes that are going to catch everybody and everybody's going to make a big number? Let me eliminate the damage there. And he works and strategizes his rounds backwards in that way. And that's kind of what Tiger did too in his strategy.
Hmm. Final one for you, Swag, because we're against it. You keep screaming at us behind the glass.
Go, go,
go, break. Are you laughing about that, you sick bastard? Last one for you.
He's got his long balls out hanging out at home.
I swear if you wear those pants tomorrow. Is it good or bad for the sport, in your opinion, to have a Scottie Scheffler? It's a great field right now. It has been for a few years. Is it good for golf to have another dominant golfer, maybe not Tiger 2.0, but of similar nature?
It's good because if he starts to creep further and further into the Tiger records and he's going against history, and that will draw more outside eyeballs. Wait, I thought we were told nobody could ever approach things that Tiger did, and now somebody might be on the verge of being able to do it. That will draw the casual crowd in.
Over, under, if I set it at 9.5. Do you take the over?
God, it's a lot of majors.
Well, the fact that I think I'm going to go over.
Wow. Only three guys ever with double digits, by the way.
That's crazy.
And Walter Hagen was in 1929. I understand that.
Hmm. Yeah. But I look at him, and other than the weird freak hand injury, he keeps himself in good enough shape, but he's not ginormous. He's not bulking up or doing, you know, in the gym constantly like that. His personal life is certainly nothing that seems like it would infringe upon his ability to sustain this or distract him or anything that we've seen from other guys, especially Tiger. I don't see where he can't be consistent and pick off a major once a year for,
right,
you know, the next decade or so. So the biggest issue for him is just going to be, how does he ever reach a point where he feels like he's done everything he needs to? He's not obsessed with beating Jack in the same way that Tiger was. He's incredibly competitive, but I think it's internal and it's inside of himself to compete with himself and be as good as he could possibly be. But if he ever gets to a point in his mind where he says, this is as good as I'll ever be, this is as good as I can get, and then I just wonder if he moves on to whatever's next in his life.
I'm going to go play baseball. If he can stay away from the Perkins waitresses and keep the 7 irons out of his windshield, he might have a chance.
Well, stay away from the Navy SEAL training.
Exactly.
I think it'd be good.
That would help, too. Navy SEAL playing on torn ACLs, all that stuff impacts it. Jason Swigart, he is the host of Golf in the Northwest every Saturday morning. He's a big fan of the show. We thought, we'll bring him on. We'll give him some airtime.
There you go.
Enjoy having your balls out the rest of the day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Swag.
I did. I enjoyed the Kiwanda Cream Ale on the boat in Hood Canal over the weekend.
You. Look at you.
Damn right you did.
That's how you hit. That's how you tickle a sponsor right there. He knows what he's doing.
He's about to go tickle something else. Let's get him off the horn.
Right. See you later, Swag. We love you. That's a great giggle to end that one. The Daily Ticker, as always, is served up by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company. Their Hard Hops presents today's Daily Ticker. Discover Hard Hops, Blackberry Hop Infused Hard Seltzer, and experience your hops differently. Jason Swigart making his guest debut on the show. We did actually have a guest. This was an idea. It wasn't that we couldn't find somebody.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
The boys this morning had Jason Swigart on for the ticker.
He hosts the golf show. I thought, you know.
Well, in his defense, I didn't want him to have a chance to talk about it, too, because when you texted us yesterday, I'm like, by the time he gets back on Tuesday, we're not.
That's kind of, it was the other
Nobody's
thought.
Talking about Scottie Scheffler tomorrow.
Guys, can I get 2 minutes of Scottie?
Scottie Scheffler will not be in the conversation on the show again, probably until the Ryder Cup, if at all.
Saying, when's the next big golf tournament?
Ryder Cup will be big, but that's in the middle of football season, so how much do we actually talk about it? I don't know. So there you go. There's your moment of Scottie Scheffler. We still got a lot to get to. I can't wait to talk about t-shirts. What about you guys? Next on The Fan.
Every week on The Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm coming home again. Coldplay's on everybody's mind. I think I'm going to hold our t-shirt talk for the final hour because we don't have a lot of time here.
I got to be really honest, man. I'm a little disappointed how much people have just openly wanted to crap on Coldplay. I get it. They're not your favorite cup of tea, but they got a couple bangers.
Coldplay is one of those bands where I'm very Sprague-ish on Coldplay in terms of I can't name you any Coldplay songs. But if you played the songs for me, I would be like, oh, yeah, that's Coldplay.
So I'm kind of,
because you do this with a lot of musicians and bands.
I'm Coldplay. So I have to look up the name of the song to remember what song I'm thinking.
The name of the song will remind you of it, huh?
Well, my daughter's listening to one right now. Religiously, it's the newest song.
Oh, because none of I haven't heard any of their new stuff.
They have a new album.
Old Coldplay stuff.
Maybe it's not
new Coldplay stuff. I don't think I'd have any frame of reference.
Because that's technically it's Kanye and Coldplay.
Yellow.
That is. Yeah.
She's playing the song Yellow a lot.
Yeah. That does nothing. I got nothing for you there, Bob.
It's not a bad song.
Is it good? Yeah. Catchy. You know. Catchy.
She plays
tune.
It. I'm not mad at it.
To each their own. Everybody's got their different likes and their dislikes.
Like what? I'm generally asking this. Like, what music artists do you really, really hate? Like, people that say I hate or...
Oh, that's a good question.
There's a lot of artists I don't really listen to.
Sure, there's nothing that I hate. People who hate genres of music or artists are funny to me.
Ted Nugent. Hate him.
See, and Stranglehold's a great song. Yeah, I don't care about political opinions. That song rocks, dude.
You got to play that song. I got to hear that song.
It's a great song.
I want to believe
you. Would know Stranglehold if I played it for you. You absolutely
would. Sing it for me.
It's one of the most famous rock. Not fans.
You get Jeff Rustin to sing it for me.
That'd be a little extreme. But yeah, you can find anybody. Like, I'm not the biggest metal screamo guy, but I'm sure you could find a song where I'm like, all right, that's not bad.
That's a genre I have a tough time with.
I do, too. I don't listen to it all the time. But
hate, you know, those bands or artists, but like, I hear it and I'm just... Sounds like the last one I heard.
Yeah, Coldplay's getting dragged right now. They shouldn't be
getting dragged.
Why are they getting dragged?
They did the funniest thing.
They've leaned into it, actually, pretty well.
Yeah.
They've played into it. It's become kind of a joke for them. Not a lot of time here. Did you see that we have a new conference in college athletics?
I did not. Oh, well, no, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
They're renaming it.
The American Athletic Conference is no longer the American Athletic Conference, Bob. It's now
ridiculous.
The American Conference. And on top of that, something that might have saved our esteemed conference back in the day if we would have been smart enough to do it, they now have a conference mascot. They created their own American, Soar the Eagle. It's an eagle. He wears the conference logo. I don't know if he's going to go around game to game. Do we get an American mascot at every, just Soar the Eagle go to all their games or just one game a week? The big game, the primetime game? Many questions, but they've rebranded as the American Conference.
Well, we're already against it. We know the mascot of the Big Ten.
What is the mascot of the Big Ten?
It's Brutus.
Oh. Now you got to have a separate mascot.
I mean...
I would say it's the Fox robot, because I just think of Fox. They killed the Pac-12. They stole USC, UCLA. Then we went with them, and then that's kind of where my head goes.
Urban Meyer.
What would the Pac-12 mascot have been? Or still could be, because it's still in existence.
It would have been an Olympic sport reference.
Not like a hippie on the West Coast?
No. Smoking
a doobie?
I mean, that's not a bad... Bill Walton?
Hey, there we go. Bill Walton.
Kind of our mascot.
Well played. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. T-shirt talk is out there. Young Hansen was shut down for the rest of Summer League. We're trying to encapsulate all of that.
Gave me a reason not to watch.
Yeah, it absolutely did. I got some NFL stuff, some college football stuff in the notes as well. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.